The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. In The Way of the Bodhisattva, Shantideva underlines the need for us to tame our minds. He points to our self-involvement and our various attachments as obstacles to following our original intention, to have an open heart and mind, and to contribute to the end of suffering for all beings. In light of this, Shantideva also teaches seven practices that prepare the mind and heart for awakening, that help us to drop our me-first perspective. These practices are traditional Buddhist methods for gathering merit, taught by the Buddha Shakyamuni, and for guiding ourselves toward bodhicitta. Shantideva is reiterating their importance in helping us to follow the mind that seeks the way. For me, primarily, the seven practices are an invitation to let go of self and to explore the heart of gratitude. Let's look at these practices this morning. Shantideva begins with the practice of making offerings to the Buddhas, those thus gone, and to the sacred law, immaculate, supreme, and rare, and to the Buddha's offspring, oceans of good qualities, that I might gain this precious attitude, I make a perfect offering. The offering is being made to the Triple Treasure, to the Buddhas, to the sacred law, the Dharma, and to the Buddha's offspring, the Sangha. Venerating the wisdom of the great teachers helps us to find such wisdom, prajna, in ourselves. Such an offering invites the mind that seeks the way and reminds us of our intention. Offerings move us toward generosity and help us to let go of our attachments, including attachment to our ideas about the making of offerings. The offerings themselves, Shantideva points out that we can all, no matter our circumstances, offer the world, the trees and skies, the rivers and valleys. He says, I offer every fruit and flower and every kind of healing medicine and all the precious things the world affords, with all pure waters of refreshment, every mountain rich and filled with jewels, all sweet and lonely forest groves, the trees of heaven, garland with blossom, and branches heavy laden with their fruit. Lakes adorned with lotuses, all plaintive with the sweet voice cries of water birds and lovely to the eyes, and all things wild and free, stretching to the boundless limits of the sky. And I might add, we can offer the beauty of Shantideva's words. Perhaps most important, we can offer ourselves. To the Buddhas and their Bodhisattva children, I offer them myself throughout my lives. Supreme courageous ones, accept me totally, for with devotion I will be your servant. For if you will accept me, I will be a benefit to all and freed from fear. I'll go beyond the evils of my past and ever after turn my face from them. We are offering all we believe that we know, all our desires and fears, and we offer them to the mind that seeks the way. We are saying yes to the Buddha's truth. This is our intention. In offering ourselves, we are a benefit to all, and we are freed from fear. Offering ourselves also frees us from the pain of self-absorption. Can we offer what we are hanging on to? Our time, our energy, our money, our views and opinions. Can we loosen up our particular habits of selfishness and fear? Anything we offer reveals our inherent good qualities. Rather than Pandora's box, we are opening a box full of acceptance, generosity, and compassion. We make these offerings in order to invite the awakening of the Bodhi heart. When we see ourselves being closed or selfish, we can mentally offer up the most pleasing and beautiful things in our day, today. The second practice is the practice of bowing. Shantideva. To the Buddhas of past, the present, and all future time, and to the doctrine and sublime assembly, with bodies many as the grains of dust upon the ground, I prostrate and bow. Bowing is part of our offering of ourself. When we bow, we are saying that we are willing to contemplate the idea that there may be something greater, deeper, wider than this self. We are engaging the idea of humility, the possibility that we do not know everything, and that in this not knowing lies the truth. I remember when I was taught to bow during my first retreat at Shasta. It seemed so strange and exotic, and there was some resistance. At the same time, I was intrigued as I sensed that bowing was an invitation to leave the arrogance of self-concern behind, if only for the minutes in which I was bowing. This is a gift. Bowing introduces us to the idea of surrender. When we bow, we surrender our body and our mind, and we surrender our need to understand. We offer up our resistance and we surrender our entrenched habits. When we bow, we aren't offering this perfect being. We are offering ourselves just as we are, our confusion, our rigidity, our need to be in control. We are saying that we are willing to entertain the idea that there might be another way rather than my way. I remember Reverend Master Daishin Morgan saying to us that we could have any music we wished at our funeral. Then he paused and said, "Except perhaps I did it my way." We are always striving to do it the Buddha way rather than my way. With this bow, I acknowledge my confusion. I surrender to the vast and compassionate heart of Bodhicitta. With all the Buddhas who have gone before, I take refuge in the mind that seeks the way, in the spark of light that shines forth from my intention. The third practice Shantideva speaks of is the practice of confession or sangha. As with offering and bowing, the practice of sangha invites us to put down our fixed version of who we think we are. First, we acknowledge the harm we have done within ourselves, and then we acknowledge it in a ceremonial way. Whatever we have been up to is not immutable. It is transitory and insubstantial. When we confess, we are recognizing that our past deeds need not hold or confine us. We are connecting with our regret and our commitment to the precepts, and then moving on. We do this by recognizing the wrong we have done in the past, by apologizing where appropriate, by changing our behavior, and by our resolve to not get tripped up by the same mistake again and again. Then, and underline this, then, we let it go. There is no reason for guilt, for using our behavior as evidence of what a bad person we are. Just, this is what I did. This, too, I offer up. Here, Shantideva speaks of the insubstantial quality of our lives and the inevitability of death. Do not be too hard on yourself for past deeds, and, like the final words of Sandokai, do not waste time. He says, all that I possess and use is like the fleeting vision of a dream. It fades into the realms of memory, and fading will be seen no more. And even in the brief course of this present life, so many friends and foes have passed away, because of whom the evils I have done still lie unbearable before me. The thought came never to my mind that I too am a brief and passing thing. And so, through hatred, lust, and ignorance, I've been the cause of many evils. Never halting, night or day, my life is slipping by, and nothing that has passed can be regained, and what but death could be my destiny? Why does Shantideva talk about death here? What can everybody understand? As one Buddhist teacher put it, you are going to die, and when you do, you will take nothing with you but your state of mind. What do we seek refuge in? Will it help us along the path? Will it support us as we are dying? Shantideva suggests that we might want to take refuge in the ungraspable heart of the mind that seeks the way. Why? Because it is courageous and limitless. It will scatter every fear. He says, thus from this day forth, I go for refuge to the Buddhas, guardians of wandering beings who labor for the good of all that lives, those mighty ones who scatter every fear. In the Dharma that resides within their hearts, that scatters all the terrors of samsara. And in the multitude of bodhisattvas, likewise will I perfectly take refuge. Shantideva ends his discussion of sangha by speaking of the four powers of confession, or the four ways of laying aside misdeeds. These powers are recognition, reliance on the wisdom of the scriptures, making things right as best we can, and the resolve not to repeat the same acts that have led to harm. And he says, Therefore, all the sins I have committed, blinded in the dark of ignorance, actions evil by their nature or the faults of broken vows. Mindful of the suffering to come, I join my palms and ceaselessly prostrate. And all my evils I will now confess directly in the presence of the Buddhas. I pray you, guides and guardians of the world, to take me as I am, a sinful man. And all these actions, evil as they are, I promise I will never do again. Rather than a sinful man, I would prefer to say, take me as I am, an imperfect man. The fourth practice Shantideva suggests is the practice of rejoicing in the good fortune of others. You may know this as sympathetic joy, where rather than rejoicing in the good fortune of others, we feel competitive, like they don't deserve it, like why them and not me, like anger, like jealousy, like hurt. See this. Look at this with curiosity. Oh, look at the self-inflating, protecting, wounded self. Remember that it is our state of mind that determines how we live. When we fully understand that our actions of body, speech, and mind have consequences, we're more motivated to act, speak, and think in ways that benefit rather than harm us. Shantideva puts it like this. The intention, ocean of great good, that seeks to place all beings in the state of bliss, and every action for the benefit of all, such is my delight and all my joy. We awaken from the benefit of all beings. This is our intention. Remember, there is intention, and then there is action. We think of all beings because this is our challenge. Whether we like them or not, whether we fear or resent them or not, whether we think they deserve what they get or not, wanting to place all beings in the state of bliss means there is no room for jealousy or competitiveness. Can we take up, for example, the practice of not fearing or hating political leaders? One woman did this and on day 35 wrote, "Not doing too good, but still not caving in." This is courageous. Consider the power of taking up one thing, reflecting on it each day, and recommitting to following your intention. Can we take up the practice of not feeling that another person's good fortune somehow reduces our good fortune? Can we take seriously the precept about not being proud of ourselves and devaluing others, and do so without flipping it and believing that we are worthless? The fifth and sixth practices are the practice of asking for the teaching and the practice of asking teachers to stay in the world. Shantideva, I join my hands, beseeching the enlightened ones who wish to pass beyond the bonds of sorrow. Do not leave us in our ignorance. Remain among us for unnumbered ages. It is the teacher who points the way, who helps us to know our own innate wisdom. For this we have gratitude. And we are reminded of our vow to stay in the world until all beings have realized the truth. Shantideva ends with the practice of dedicating merit. And through these actions now performed, by all the virtue I have just amassed, may all the pain of every living being be wholly scattered and destroyed. We don't hold on to our good fortune and merit. We give it away to help all beings. Basically, merit can only be accumulated by letting it go. Shantideva, my body thus and all my goods besides, and all my merits gained and to be gained, I give them all away, withholding nothing to bring about the benefit of beings. We don't hold back for fear of ending up with nothing. As with love, there is not a limited amount of merit. As love grows love, so merit grows merit. Giving up our attachment to merit means letting go on the most profound level. Even any security and illusion of certainty goes. Knowing goes. This is the equivalent of shedding everything. In her commentary on the way of the Bodhisattva, Pema Chodron describes it like this. The journey to enlightenment involves shedding, not collecting. It's a continual process of opening and surrender, like taking off layer after layer of clothes, until we're completely naked with nothing to hide. If liberation is what we want, we'll need to let go of everything. No holding something back for a rainy day. This is probably the hardest message for any of us to hear. If liberation is what we want, we need to let go of everything. No holding something back for a rainy day. That strikes a chord in me. Is it familiar to you? I'm just going to hold this bit back. Shantideva goes on. All those who slight me to my face or do me any other evil, even if they blame or slander me, may they attain the fortune of enlightenment. Whatever your original intention, may it lead you to enlightenment. That is wishing well to all beings. There is a large sign in a yard on a busy street in Eugene, put there for people to read as they drive by. It says, forgive everyone, everything. Seems to me that says it all. No holding back. No, this one is not forgivable. So Shantideva is not only recommending forgiveness on the spot, he is going further. Forgive and wish them well. Wish that they may know the Buddha's truth. Doesn't this lighten our load? In the beautiful words of Shantideva, may I be a guard for those who are protectorless, a guide for those who journey on the road, for those to wish to go across the water, may I be a boat, a raft, a bridge. May I be an isle for those who yearn for landfall, and a lamp for those who long for light. For those who need a resting place, a bed. For all who need a servant, may I be their slave. Like the earth and the pervading elements enduring as the sky itself endures, for boundless multitudes of living beings, may I be their ground and sustenance. Thus, for everything that lives, as far as are the limits of the sky, may I provide their livelihood and nourishment until they pass beyond the bonds of suffering. Shantideva ends his words on the seven practices that lead us to Buddhahood by taking the precepts. Just as all the Buddhas of the past embraced the awakened attitude of mind, and in the precepts of the Bodhisattvas, step by step abode and trained, just so, and for the benefit of beings, I will also have this attitude of mind, and in those precepts, step by step, I will abide and train myself. It is my intention to abide in the precepts, to live in the precepts, rather than in greed, hatred, and delusion. It is not that the three poisons will disappear and we will become perfect beings. It is that we will cease to listen to them, to ally ourselves with them, to give them much weight. This is committing ourselves to the mind that seeks the way. Shantideva wrote what is called the seven-limb prayer that many Buddhists in the Tibetan tradition repeat each day. The seven limbs refer to each of the seven practices. He begins by affirming his vow. I take safe direction till my purified state from the Buddhas, the Dharma, and the Sangha. By the positive force of my giving, may I actualize Buddhahood to help those who wander. May the surface of the land in every direction be pure, without even a pebble, as smooth as the palm of a child's hand, naturally polished as a precious gem. May divine and human objects of offering actually arrayed and those envisioned as peerless clouds of Samantabhadra's offerings completely fill the sphere of space. Let's end again with Shantideva's intention. And now, as long as space endures, as long as there are beings to be found, may I continue likewise to remain to drive away the sorrows of the world. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.